This tape is entitled Understanding Romans 7, and it's given by Bob George.
We're told in the Scripture that in the last days, in end times, that people are going to want to do nothing but get their ears tickled. And we will not be satisfied with sound doctrine. That truth is not the issue. It's just make it amusing and make it funny and make it light. It's almost the same type of thing that took place, Bob, when they said, "We'll listen to Moses, but don't let God speak to us." I also see something else, Bob, that you see continually, that the more liberal that your theology becomes, the more you begin talking about God at the exclusion of Jesus Christ. And God came to reveal himself to us in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, he literally let us know that apart from Christ Jesus, we really can't even know anything about God. And Jesus made the statement, "If you've seen me, why, you've seen the Father." And you can't, there's no one that'll go into the presence of God apart from Christ Jesus. So the more that we get to know Christ, that's how we get to know God. So when a person talking about seeking God, why, quite frankly, you don't need to seek anymore. If you found Christ, you found all that you are going to know about God is found in the Son, who is the exact representation of his being. And so it is very easy for people, and I know before I was saved how easy it was to talk about God or the man upstairs or the big boy upstairs or whatever it might be, but absolutely gag on the name of Jesus Christ. And you hear people today that you'll hear talking about God all the time, but you'll never hear them mention the name of Jesus Christ. Because whenever you start perverting the gospel, there's something inside of you that prohibits you from talking about Jesus. But still, I can get away with that talking about God. And the fact of the matter is that God revealed himself to us in this person of Jesus Christ. And that is our life. He is our life. And he is the one in whom we have life. Now, as we continue, I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. I'm going to give that telephone number again. We're running in the same situation in the Southern California area we do all the time, it seems like at times. But I do want to give the number again, because otherwise, well, I'll just teach through the program. But it's 1-800-677-9377. And if you've got any questions on what we are going to be talking about, why, please give us a call. In the meantime, I'm going to talk about something, Bob, that's been very near and dear to my heart. And that is the root problem of man. We've been studying through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's an interesting thing that as Paul begins to analyze the difference between law and grace and about this relationship to sin as it relates to our relationship with being in Adam. And we need to understand that when God created man, and he created Adam, and Adam fell, that all of us were born into this world in the image of Adam, and we were dead in him. We talked about that a little bit the other day. That therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and that is Adam, and death through that sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, that we realize that death entered into this world through Adam, and as it says, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. Now, Adam was a pattern of the one to come, and the one to come is Jesus Christ, called the last Adam. Now, that's identification truths, Bob, that we must come to grips with, that when I came into this world, I was born in Adam. Now, that condition of that is dead in my trespasses and sin, dead to God, very much my spirit alive to the world, but dead to God. My destiny was that of hell. My father, according to Jesus, was that of the devil, and that's what he said to the Pharisees, "Your father is that of the devil." And that is my identity. It's a citizenship. It is a federal fact that that's who I was when I was in Adam. It would be like being born in Russia. I'm a Russian citizen, and therefore, as a Russian citizen, all the doctrine of communism was a part of my citizenship, and you couldn't separate being a Russian citizen from the indoctrination of communism. They were all there. It was all there together. Now, when you're talking about that, then it is obvious that what a person needs is a change of identity, a change of citizenship. So when we come to Christ, that it, as it talks about in the law, that when you are under the law, that you are under the law until death occurs. You were born under that, and the only way you're ever going to escape it is death. And Paul gives an illustration of marriage under the law with that truth, that a woman is bound to her husband as long as her husband lives. But if he dies, she's no longer bound to him. She's no longer bound to that law of marriage. Well, you and I were born into this world married, bound to Adam in his death, in his destiny, just like born into a Russian citizen, enmeshed in communism, not separate from the two. So in order for a change of citizenship to occur, death had to occur. In other words, I had to die to my citizenship in order to come alive to a new one, because the law binds you as long as a person is alive. And that is the importance of our death in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. What's the importance of our co-crucifixion with Christ? That's where we died to our old citizenship, and therefore died to the law that bound us, so that we could be married to another, that is, Christ Jesus our Lord, and to be raised from the dead with him, as Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised with him, which incidentally, water baptism is a symbol of that. It doesn't create or cause any of that, but it is symbolic of a person's death and their burial and their resurrection in the newness of life. And so it's when I come alive that I'm coming alive into something new, and that is into Christ Jesus. Christ comes to live in me and then places me into his body by his Holy Spirit. That's a brand new identity. I'm a new creation in Christ. Now, all of that took place as a result of what Christ Jesus did for you and me once and for all, first of all at the cross, and then in his resurrected life. And Bob will talk about that more when we come back from the break.
This is People to People with Bob George. If you're experiencing one of the many heartaches of life, one of the tribulations that Jesus Christ said were sure to come to all the residents of planet Earth, help could be as close as a phone call away to Bob George at People to People. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Okay, Bob, as we're moving on through these chapters in Romans, we have to see that it says that we died. It says we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? In other words, the very moment that we stepped out of Adam into Christ and Christ stepped out of heaven to us, we obtained a brand new citizenship. We are now in Christ, no longer in Adam dead, but in Christ alive. And that was brought about and that was enabled through Christ's physical death on the cross. In other words, it was at the cross where Christ physically went, and he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him and his resurrected life we might become the righteousness of God. So it was through his physical death that we were reconciled unto God. And that's what the scripture says. While we were yet enemies, we were reconciled through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? But that reconciliation took place. And then through his resurrection, justification took place. And we understand that we have now been justified by his life, and we're in Christ. And many listeners that are listening to me today and that have been listening and learning as the Holy Spirit of God has been teaching to us, realize that we go through a period of time where there is a total elation over the fact that man, I'm justified. I've been reconciled to God. My sins are forgiven. And the reason that we quibble back and forth over this total forgiveness issue, Bob, is because we don't understand there's a greater issue at hand than just sinning, which is what you're confessing to get forgiven, is what you're doing. But on the other hand, we say, well, man, that's truth, that, you know, Christ has taken all my sin, taken my sins upon himself. He became sin for me. And that is great news. Now, when we talk about the law, because the law is what demands the flesh to behave. And so when I died in Adam, I died to the law that killed me to begin with. In other words, the law, the power of sin, is the law. So I had to die in order to be freed from the law in order that I could be married to another. And that is Christ Jesus. No longer to serve him in the old way, bearing fruit, as it says, unto death, but serving in a new way, bearing fruit unto God. That was brought about internally by Christ's life living in you and me. Now, we rejoice in that fact. And I know that when we go to seminars, and we've been to seminars and out in Washington and other places around the country, people, we begin to rejoice in that fact. And that is the best news in the world. And to realize that I have been freed from the law, the power of sin is the law. But all of a sudden, we come along and realize something about ourselves, that, man, I still got this desire to sin inside of me. And that's what Paul was talking about when he was talking about the law of sin. He said, we go on sinning, and then should you say the law of sin? He said, no. I would not have known what sin was except through the law. I would have known what coveting was if the law had not said, don't covet. Now, Bob, I'm going to give an example of that. Let's say you bought a brand new Mercedes-Benz and you were over on the Autobahn in Germany, and I tell you the speed limit over there is lickety-split. And there is just no speed law. You just get in that thing and there's no signs telling you how fast to drive. Now, if there's no signs telling you how fast to drive, why then the only thing you got to do is to push this car to its utter limit and just absolutely let your desires just be unleashed. Just go. Now, if there were no signs, and you were just driving as fast as this car could go, would you be aware of sin? Well, of course not. There aren't any signs. As a matter of fact, I feel the best I've ever felt in my life. I am free as a bird, and I'm just free to drive this thing as fast as I want to drive it. Any awareness of sin? No awareness of sin at all. I'm doing what comes naturally. I'm being meek. I'm just driving as fast as I can drive. All of a sudden, you hit a spot on there that says, slow down to 55 miles an hour. Now, what happens to you? All of a sudden, this spirit of rebellion starts creeping up. I don't want to go 55. I've enjoyed this freedom, man. I love this. And here's this sign telling me 55 miles an hour. Not only that, it says that it is being radar watched, and if you go 60, you're going to get a ticket. Now, I'm not only mad at the sign, I'm mad at the law, I'm also mad at the police force. And inside of me, what did the law do? Did it cause that rebellion? No. That rebellion was there all the time, but it was inactive. It was stagnant. It was just laying there. But the sign brought it out. Circumstances, as we've said before, don't cause your nature. It reveals your nature. All of a sudden, I found myself angered. Well, now that's what Paul said about coveting. I wouldn't have known what sin was except through the law. I wouldn't have known what coveting was had the law not said, don't covet. And folks, that desire, don't covet, and we're studying in Romans 7 right now, is sinful desires. I wouldn't even have known that I had these sinful desires had the law not said, drive 55. Because, man, I was going lickety-split and enjoying every minute of it. I didn't know I was coveting. I didn't know I had that in me. But it said sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by that commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire, for apart from the law, sin is dead. You see, apart from the sign, it's dead. I don't even know it's there. Mm-hmm. It's there, but I didn't know it. Now, the law didn't cause it. The law just showed you that it was there. That's the purpose of the law, to show you to be perfectly sinful, so that you'd do what? Turn to Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, the law had done something there. It had showed Paul, I am coveting. But you see, Paul knew enough by them to realize coveting, that's a sin that was taken away at the cross. He didn't have to sit there and say, oh, God, please forgive me for coveting. You don't read of him doing that. He just says, there's something else going on here. That coveting is as a result of something else going on down under the skin. He said, once I was alive apart from the law, in other words, man, I was flying high on that Autobahn apart from it. But when the very commandment came, sin, that rebellion in me, sprang to life, and I died. Now, I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life, and that was from Paul's standpoint, not from God's, because the commandment never was there to bring life. But we think it is. It says actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. Now, Paul does something that anybody who is in Christ is going to do, and that is, you're not going to deny the truth. The law is good, and the law is holy, he said, and the commandment's holy, and it's righteous and good. Paul says, there's nothing wrong with what God says, so there must be something wrong with me. Now, Bob, that is the very opposite of what is going on today in the Christian world. That we live in an era today where even well-meaning Christians are teaching people and counseling people with, you're okay and I'm okay. That what's the problem is your background. What's the problem is you were a child of an alcoholic. You're an adult child, or you're a wounded babe, or you're a wounded puppy, or you've been potty trained too early, or you have a dysfunctional family. And it's another way of saying, don't blame me. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. You can buy that garbage if you want to, but I want to tell you that is a total opposite of what the Word of God is saying. And you're never going to get well believing that, because it's a lie. And it is a lie to keep you and me from ever coming to the root and the awareness of what the real problem of man is, which Paul is about to explain. Sinning, that was what Christ took away at the cross. But Paul said there's something still there. He goes ahead to say, the law is spiritual, I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. He says, I don't understand what I do. Why in the world do you think anyone goes to counseling? Because they don't understand what they do. If I understood what I did, why would I go get counseling? Hey, I want to sit down and pay $100 in order to explain, because I know what I'm doing. I got it all figured out, but I want to pay you to tell me. Well, that's ridiculous. The reason we think that we need counsel, and the reason that we do need counsel by the Holy Spirit of God, is because Paul said, I don't understand what I do. Well, you see, is that unusual? Is this some kind of a freak? Is Paul some kind of a freak that is here? When you and I enter into a situation, we say, I don't understand what I do. Is that unusual? Not according to the Word of God, it's not unusual. He says, and here's what I don't understand about myself. When I want to do what? When for what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do. In other words, I don't want to do something, but I do it anyway. Sound familiar? Yeah. Now, he said, if I am doing what I don't want to do, I agree the law is good. There's nothing wrong with what God did. But as it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. And folks, there is the entire issue of what I'm trying to get you to see. You have sin living in the members of your body, and so do I. Your body has not been redeemed. It will be. You have a promise of a new body, but in the meantime, you are living in a body with sin living in it called indwelling sin. And there's something about that indwelling sin that you need to know. Paul just told you there's nothing good that lives in that. There's nothing good that lives in me, that is, in my flesh, in my sinful nature. So that's one thing you know about this indwelling sin. There ain't anything good about it. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. Now, folks, there's a dual thing, and I want to show you there. First of all, you're saying the things I don't want to do, I do them anyway. And then there's another one that says, when I want to do good, I can't carry it out. Now, that blows the daylights out of these people walking around saying it's just all your will. Just the Bible says that it's true, so just do it. You just sit, just do it. That's how you live the life. You just hear truth and just do it. Well, you may think you could do that, but Paul didn't. Paul said, I know full well what it is to do, but I can't carry it out. So don't worship at the feet of a will. Don't make will your God. Because it's saying you can't carry it out, Paul. You can't do what you know is right to do, and the things you know is wrong, you do it anyway. Folks, is that a predicament? That's a predicament. Is there a solution to it? Yes, there is. Yet it's not sitting back and going back and analyzing yourself. It is claiming what Paul's about to claim and what I'll proclaim to you when we come back from the break. Bob, thank you. As we continue in this study in Romans 7, basically it covers the content of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And Bob, if we can get a handle on what God is saying through the Apostle Paul in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, quite frankly, you're going to have a handle on what the exchange life in Christ Jesus is all about. Now, Paul is talking about this conflict, folks, and there's not a one of you listening to me today who are in Christ that does not encounter this conflict. There's not a one of us. Satan tries to teach us or tries to convince us that we're kind of the Lone Ranger, that this is really unique to you. No, No other Christians out there having this problem. They're all just living total victoriously. But folks, that's a lie. That is not true. And it cannot be true. Because of what Paul is saying here, and also which is verified by your own personal experience, and certainly is verified by my own experience of 20-some years in the Lord, and that is that there is something living inside me called indwelling sin. And that is in each and every one of us. And so Paul is saying that because of this thing called indwelling sin, even though you may have a phenomenal understanding of the fact that all of your sins have been placed behind the back of God, never to see them again, and praise God for that, folks, because if you can't understand your justification in Christ and your reconciliation in Christ, you're not even going to get to the point of growing in your understanding of the Word of God to come to grips with what Paul is talking here, because the law has got to do its work, folks. It has to do its work, first of all, in what it came to do, and that is to show you of your own sinfulness, so that sin might become utterly sinful. And as it says in Galatians, before this faith came, this faith in Christ, all of us were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. That's the reason the law was there, until faith should be revealed. There is your power over that indwelling sin, faith. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. But my friends, until faith comes, you will always be under the supervision of the law in your own experience, even though, from God's vantage point, you're not under it at all. But you see, what good does it do for God to say you've been released from the law if you don't believe you've been released from it? Because it's like him saying, well, I've taken down all the signs, but you still, for some reason, think they're there. So you're driving lickety-split, looking out the back of your window, waiting on the red lights to start blinking. And so you're not enjoying your trip at all. You're taking a trip, but you're not enjoying it. Now, folks, until we come to grips with the fact of indwelling sin and what all of this counseling and that is contrary to the Word of God that many times takes place, I cannot argue with the intent. I'm just saying what it does. It keeps you from understanding indwelling sin by keeping you preoccupied with sins. That is also what religion does. It keeps you preoccupied with sins so that you never come to grips with the real issue, and that is indwelling sin. And Bob, as I said, it's kind of like a person he's losing his hair and his eye sockets are, you know, falling back in his head, and he's losing weight. And you say, man, you need to gain weight. You need to have some plastic surgery to get those eye sockets back up where they belong. You need to learn how to grow hair. And you need to concentrate on that, and you're losing hair, and you need to confess that, and you need to get forgiven for that hair loss, and you need to go out and try to grow some hair, and you need to tell God how sorry you are for losing weight, and you need to go try to gain weight. And the fact of the matter is, you have AIDS. And as long as I can keep you trying to gain weight and grow hair and do something with your eyeballs, you're never going to come to grips with what the real issue is, and that is you have AIDS. Now, folks, the law, and when you're dealing with sins, I can go and do some principles and do some type of groups, and I can conquer my sin that I'm doing. And I can do that through self-effort. I could throw you in jail and get rid of a lot of your habits for a period of time. But it ain't going to do an earthly thing about that thing called indwelling sin producing sinful desires. But you see, as long as I can keep you on the peripheral issues, keep you on dealing with the acts of the flesh instead of the problem of the flesh, why then I've got you captivated to try harder. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Keep at it. Pray more. Study your Bible more. Go to church more. Go to visitation. Tithe more. All of those type of things. And so what am I dealing with? Well, I'm trying to do in order to placate these sins out there. And Bob, if I can keep you dealing with those things, or rationalizing living in denial as to what the real problem is. Why, I've got you. And unfortunately, that is what is taking place today. The Bible, Paul is trying to tell us in Romans 7 through here, there is a problem called indwelling sin living in us. It's no longer I who do it. It's sin living in me. I have the desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. And the evil that I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it. It's sin living in me that does it. Now, folks, if you want to cop out on something, that's what you cop out on. Not that it's no longer I who do it, but it's because of my background. It's no longer I who do it. It's because I came from a dysfunctional family. It's no longer I who do it. It's because it is because of this and because of that and because of this and because of this. And sin said, no. Now this struggle that we have, when you're wanting to do what you don't want to do, and when you don't want to do things, you keep on doing it. The problem is that it's something called indwelling sin living in you. Now, Bob, self-effort is no match for indwelling sin. There is nothing I can do with indwelling sin. You talk about being born that way, that we're born with that. Any more than, quite frankly, there was anything that I could do with my sin. In the Old Testament, you could go to the Day of Atonement, and there you could kill a lamb and at least get your sins temporarily forgiven. But it didn't change anything. But Christ, in order to take away sins, Christ had to come. That was his sacrifice in his physical body. That was his sacrifice. And at that sacrifice, he took away the sins of the world. So that what? And he said, who took that away? Who did that? That's why I said that there is no more sacrifice for sins. When Christ died, there is no more sacrifice for sins. So he said, folks, get rid of your sacrificial systems. There's no more priests. There's no more confession booths. There's no more your confession activating sin. All of that's gone. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And until Jesus, unless he's going to come and die again, there is no more forgiveness. And that means that his death did it all. That's why we stand today as forgiven saints. But that forgiven of what? Sins. Sins. And then we come to him, which is the only solution to the sin of unbelief. And that is corrected. And like I say, then we rejoice in all of these truths. The fact that they've been justified, reconciled. But there's still a deeper problem that is there. Called indwelling sin, folks. Now, if I can keep you preoccupied, if I can keep you thinking that my problem is family, background, whatever you want to name, I will keep you from seeing what God says your problem is, and that is indwelling sin. Now, folks, when you understand that your problem is indwelling sin, that brings you to the end of yourself. Because there's not a thing you can do with that. It would be like an incurable disease, which is kind of like AIDS is thought of right now. Incurable. There's nothing you can do with it. It's there. And it is there. And it is there. Now, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that unlike a physical problem such as AIDS, that indwelling sin, there is a solution to that. But it's not self-effort. As I said, self-effort is no match for indwelling sin. Religious form is no match for indwelling sin. Belonging to this denomination or this is no match for indwelling sin. Gutting it out for God and self-discipline is no match for indwelling sin. Figuring out your past is no match for indwelling sin. You may figure out everything you want about your past, and you still got indwelling sin living in you. And the only solution to indwelling sin was what Paul cried out in this work. He said, I find a law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me in my inner being. I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. And folks, sin living in the members of your body is waging war, it says, against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work. Where? Within my members. Now, folks, keep this in mind. Your body has not been redeemed yet. You are living, sealed by the Spirit of God as a born-again Christian. Your soul is being renewed, but your body is dead because of sin. You will get a new body someday. But as long as you are here in this body, you as a redeemed saint is going to live housed in a body that has sin living in it. So this law is that as this new creation, I want to be God's guy. But there's something inside of me in the members of my body that is still at work in there causing this conflict. Now he comes to a point. And this is the point we have to see about ourselves, folks, because until we come to grips with this, you're never going to be able to come to grips with what Christ came to do. Wretched man that I am. Now, it's not easy, folks, to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, hello, wretched man. That is not an easy thing, and I'm not saying we should. But I'm saying until we recognize that this condition that Paul is describing is a wretched condition, and if there were no solution to it, it would be an intolerable condition. Well, we'll talk about that after the break.
45 minutes past the hour. This is People to People with Bob George. We do need to take a break. We'll come back with more after this 2-minute break for these very, very important messages. Most Christians are aware that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But few Christians know or understand the significance of the two parts, or even which one is more important to us today. That's the subject of Bob George's booklet in the People to People Life series entitled The New Covenant. This 16-page booklet is a free offer this month and is available only through People to People. In these enlightening pages, you'll discover firsthand what the Bible says about itself and how the two testaments fit together. You'll see that a testament or a covenant is a form of a will, and that it's impossible to ever have two wills in force at the same time. You'll see that the cross of Jesus Christ is not only the dividing line of human history, but also the dividing line of Scripture as well. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says, "The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God." This better hope is found in the new covenant. In contrast with the old covenant, the new one is a covenant of grace instead of a covenant of law. For in Hebrews it says the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, and it can never make perfect those who draw near to worship. But the new covenant can. This covenant with God has been established through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is only through this will that we have been made holy, perfect, and complete in God's eyes once and for all. It is in this will and testament that God says, "Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." For your free copy of Bob's booklet called The New Covenant, write to People to People, 2300 Valley View Lane, Suite 200, Dallas, Texas, 75234. Or you may call the People to People order line at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Order your copy of The New Covenant today. And we're back for the final segment of this edition of People to People. Again, here is Bob George.
Bob, thank you. As we come to grips with reality, and folks, I want to preface as we close this last segment of the broadcast with the reason that I have taken time to do this today is because it's a deep desire in my heart to communicate this to you. I have been teaching through the book of Romans in our Sunday Metro Bible that we do on Sunday with a large group of people here in Dallas. These truths have impacted my own life, and I think they're impacting and helping the lives of people that are the recipients and listening to this, and I wanted to share it with you. There's also a deep concern in my heart that we as Christians have drifted away from confidence in the truth of the Word of God. For some reason, we've lost confidence in that, and I think the reason for it is because we've never had confidence in what truth of the Word of God is. We've only had a surface understanding of the grace of God, a surface understanding of what the Christian life is all about, and in many instances, a terrifically surface deal because we've never gotten away from the forgiveness issue and therefore have never had a chance to deal with the real issue, and that's the issue of the life and death issue in Christ Jesus, and even after that, of the fact that you're still left with indwelling sin in these bodies of ours. And here we're taught many times, you come to Christ and all your problems are going to go away. You come to Christ, you're never going to have any evil desires again. You come to Christ and everything, and all of a sudden you begin to experience these things. You say, something's wrong, something doesn't work. And so now it becomes Christ plus something, Christ plus this, Christ plus therapy, Christ plus this, Christ plus anything, because it doesn't work. Well, folks, it's never do work, but Christ does. According to the Word of God, and I can tell you according to my own life. Because I had to come to grips the same way that you do with the fact that in and of myself, in this condition that I'm left with, I could say, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this what? Body of death. It doesn't say rescue me from my spiritual birth. You've already been rescued by in your spiritual life. But there's a body of death that you want to be rescued from. And in verse 25, the only answer to that is thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. That's the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. It wasn't saying try to figure something out. It was saying that the only solution to indwelling sin in your body, my friends, is Christ Jesus. Not a nebulous God, but God who revealed himself to us in Christ Jesus. It is Christ Jesus' resurrected life that is the solution to your and my problem. It's not just a physical Christ Jesus. His physical death on the cross is where he took care of the sins of the world. It is his resurrected life that is the only thing that can control indwelling sin. And until we rely upon that, we have nothing to rely upon except self-technique. And new self-help works, and new self-help clinics, and new self-help, because that's all that is, self-help, and self-discipline, and self-help, and positive thinking, and everything else is going on. And folks, that is going to ultimately lead us, who are evangelical Christians, into a New Age movement, whether we want to think so or not. That's exactly where it's going to lead us, as evangelicals. We need to realize that we haven't gone far enough into the Word of God. That we have to realize that there's something, even though I am saved spiritually and sealed by His Spirit, thanks be to God for that. That there's in my experience, I am a child of the living God and I am housed in a body where indwelling sin lives. And the only solution to that is thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And that's dependency. You see, folks, when I'm in a desperate situation, wretched man that I am, I need rescued. Who's going to rescue me? There's no one there to rescue. There's no lifeline to be thrown out. I'm sorry, folks, there is none. We can pretend there is. We can tell people there is. We can give solutions to sinning and never cure indwelling sin. Indwelling sin will never be permanently cured until you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Quite frankly, that's one of the reasons I'll be glad to escape out of this thing to get a promotion. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. For me to live, Paul said, is Christ. For me to die, well, it's gain. But in the meantime, I, a new child of God, am living housed in this body of sin. Indwelling sin. Now, the only solution to that, folks, that I'm getting at, is a reliant, dependent relationship upon the Holy Spirit of God living in you. It is a dependent faith. Now, that's what we were talking about earlier when faith came. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. Now, it's done its work so that we may be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Now, folks, there is this. Faith is faith in Christ Jesus. Faith must have an object. And we're talking about having faith in the Holy Spirit of God living in you to control indwelling sin. Never to take it away, but to control it. And that's why it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Did it say the desires of the flesh would go away? No. Did it say clean up the flesh, understand the flesh, go back and analyze the flesh? No. It said walk in the newness of life by faith. This thing called faith in Christ Jesus. His resurrected life, His Holy Spirit of God living in you. Faith in that. And there'll be a byproduct of that. You will not be fulfilling the desires, those evil desires that are in all of us. But you won't be fulfilling them. The desires of the flesh. There's only one solution to the desires of the flesh. And that's walking in the newness of life by faith in Him who alone can control the desires of the flesh. Now Paul, therefore, after saying thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord, said, so I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my flesh I'm a slave to the law of sin. My friends, there is sin living in every one of you who are listening to me today, and there's sin living in me. It's called indwelling sin living in my body. You know what? I praise God for it. You know why? Because God intended it to be that way. He could have taken that out. But you know, the very presence of that indwelling sin in us is what should be there to keep us reliant upon Him. Because we're helpless under it. There's nothing we can do about it. We're helpless to indwelling sin. And it's when we become weak that He becomes strong. That's what keeps us in a state of saying, I can't. But He says, I can. That's what enables us to see, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. But I can do nothing through self-effort. That does nothing but weaken us. And give a false illusion of getting better. I don't need to get better. I need cured. Now, folks, the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is because there is an overall attack, and I think it's satanic in all forms, whether it be in religion, whether it be in psychology, whether it be in human philosophy, it doesn't make any difference, nor am I attacking the intent of individuals. But there is teaching that is out there in abundance that is doing everything in its power to keep people from seeing this truth in Romans 7. And that is, until we come to grips with our own wretchedness, we're never going to come to grips with His sufficiency. It's only when I see that in and of myself there is no good thing that I'm going to rejoice in the fact that in Him is everything. Well, I hope this has been a help to you today.
Bob, thanks. Bob, we'll be back with some closing thoughts in just a very brief moment, but first of all, we appreciate very much the partnership of those of you who make it possible for Bob to be here on the air every day with the life-transforming truth of God and His Word. To those of you who give to the work of the Lord through this ministry, we appreciate you very, very much. We hope you'll continue to do so. If you've not yet made that decision to join with us, we hope that you'll consider doing that today. And as you do, I hope that you'll continue to hear and continue to stand with us. We need your help. And if you can, we hope that you'll make that decision today if you could. We'll give the mailing address as we close the broadcast, but now very quickly with some closing thoughts, Bob George.
Well, Bob, really, there's not much of a closing thought to give. I hope that our listeners across the country who are listening to this will take the opportunity to participate in some of the seminars that are coming up, especially in California and then again in October in Colorado, because it's at these seminars that we will be expounding even in more detail upon the things we've talked about. I don't think in all our 8 years of broadcasting, Bob, that I've ever, as far as I'm concerned, have ever been concerned about giving a message out any more clearly than I am right now in regard to this issue. It's the thing that's holding people in bondage, and Christ wants to set you free.
Yes, indeed. Well, we'll be back tomorrow at the same time, and we hope that you'll be here too. And until then, for Bob George and the staff at People to People, this is Bob Davis saying God bless you, and good afternoon from Dallas. You've been listening to People to People, a broadcast ministry of Discipleship Counseling Services of Dallas, Texas. Please remember that People to People is supported through the gifts and prayers of people like you. To become a vital part of this ministry through your donations, or to receive a free catalog listing of Bible study guides, books, tapes, and other materials, please write to People to People at 2300 Valley View Lane, Suite 200, Dallas, Texas, 75234. Or call 800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. A cassette copy of this program is available for $5 plus $1 packaging and postage. Counseling calls are welcome during each of the two live daily broadcasts, 4:05 until 5 p.m. and 6:05 until 7 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Or you may write with your questions, and a People to People counselor will respond by return mail. Again, the address is People to People, 2300 Valley View Lane, Suite 200, Dallas, Texas, 75234. And please be sure to include the call letters of your station anytime you write. And now may God grant you the joy of your salvation as you continue to be discipled in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.